and welcome to Scale Your Sales Podcast, listed in 2020 as number 8 of 42 best podcasts for every sales professional. I am your host, Janice B. Gordon, the customer growth expert and author of Business Evolution, Creating Growth in a Rapidly Changing World. I created Scale Your Sales Framework to develop leading edge capabilities to secure, retain and grow key customer relationships for long-term value and partnership. Join me each week to learn from amazing B2B sales and business experts and influencers. Tune in for actionable insights and strategies. Are you ready to scale your sales? My next guest is Nikki Rausch. After 25 years of selling to organizations like the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, Hewlett-Packard and NASA, Nikki Rausch decided to trade in her road warrior status. She helps entrepreneurs sell in a way that builds relationships, creates true connection, and results in more closed deals and longer term client relationships. Welcome to Scale Your Sales Podcast, Nikki Rausch.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so looking forward to this conversation.
I was telling Nikki that I am her new best friend because I go on my morning walks and I have Nikki in my ears advising me, you have got to go on the podcast that she's been running for quite a while now. And there's great content there, Sales Maven. So make sure you look her up. But let me just get into this. What is your view on if sales has shifted enough to be buyer-centric, Nikki?
Well, I think it should be buyer-centric, and I think that's how buyers want to buy. And, you know, trying what I consider, and I've heard you talk about this on your podcast too, like these old school tactics, you know, of being really aggressive or, you know, in sales, I remember my first professional sales job, they were talking about go out and hunt the big game, you know, be the elephant hunter and all that. And that stuff to me, it actually makes me like physically gag.
Yeah.
And I think consumers feel the same way. Like nobody wants to be treated like they're being hunted. That feels gross. So I do think it has to be buyer centric. I think buyers are super savvy and I think they're skeptics nowadays because we constantly are hearing about somebody being taken advantage of or something not being, you know, accurate the way it was advertised and, you know, all these things. And so I think showing up from this place of, I would say relationship first and rapport always, it is about being authentic. It's about being, you know, with selling with integrity and making it about the buyer.
And I love that about you because the coaching that you do online as part of your podcast of the members that are in the Sales Maven Society, you're constantly banging that drum. And the way that you talk is really from the customer's perspective. And I think that's really hard for salespeople to get, that it's not about them. And I think this is why you're absolutely brilliant at that, the language you use and the way that you take people through your program.
Thank you so much. That's so kind. I do really think that, you know, as much as we always think our stuff is really interesting or that what we have to say or what we think is what people want to know, I think that's actually not the priority. Most people want to know, what do you think about me? And here's what I think. And they want it from their perspective. I always say this, like, we all walk around thinking the whole world revolves around us and everything that happens is because of us, to us, or for us. And so as a seller showing up with this idea that the world revolves around you is a mistake because your buyer is showing up thinking the whole world revolves around them. So make it about them and speak their language, speak to what is interesting to them. Speak the language of their brain. Their brain is thinking about them and thinking about from their perspective. So talk to their brain because they're, you know, that's a lot of decisions are happening sometimes at that like unconscious level. And so we have to really speak to in a way that people go, yeah, you get me. Oh man, you really get me. That feels good. I want to buy from somebody who gets me and who makes an effort and doesn't always just say like, here's me and let me, you know, talk at you the whole time. That feels gross.
And this happens on, you know, business to business, whether your customers are enterprise customers, corporates, and where there may be lots of buyers around the table and people you need to influence, or whether it's, you know, kind of more smaller scale business to business, because they're human after all. And you know, their brains are made up in exactly the same way. And I think we forget this. Suddenly we go into corporate sales and it's back to the hunter, you know, which like you, I absolutely cannot abide all of that. And, you know, it makes me gag as well. But there's still a lot of that about. So why is it that the sales industry still doesn't get it?
Well, I think it's because, you know, companies sometimes think that, well, you know, depends on who the leader is in the company, right? Like, this is how I came up. This is how I sold. But things have shifted. You know, I think, again, it's more buyer-centric market and you have to be focused on the buyer, their experience, what their need is. And, you know, the other kind of piece about this is you probably know this because you listen to the podcast, but I often say it's not your job to convince people to buy from you. And I think companies oftentimes still act as if your job is to go out and convince. And I think sales management is still saying this to their sales team. Your job is to convince these people they must buy from us. But frankly, think about you as a person. Do you like to be convinced by somebody who you might not have a lot of relationship with? And the answer typically is no. When somebody approaches you and they're like, I'm going to change your mind. I'm totally going to change your mind on something. You kind of can draw a line in the sand and go, I'm not going to cross that line no matter what you say. And so approaching a corporate, you know, client, approaching any client with this idea of like, I'm here to convince you, people are going to go like, no, you're not, because I'm not going to change my mind now. So it has to be about building these relationships and treating people, you know, I don't really care what is on their business card, you know, what department they're in or what their title is. You are still selling to a person. And that means relationship has to happen. Rapport has to happen.
So tell me more about the selling staircase. There's, I hate the word funnel. And what I love about this is, you know, step by step, there is a process. And so moving people through that process in a non-sleazy way, a word that you use, and I absolutely agree with. So tell me more about your book and your framework, The Selling Staircase.
Well, I get the concept of a funnel because, again, I come from a corporate sales background. I used to have a boss that would scream at me, failure funnel, Nikki. You know, so I get this concept of the funnel. But I think where the funnel falls down and where it no longer works is in the actual conversation itself. And that's where, as a salesperson, you need to understand what is happening in a sales conversation and how can you be more strategic. And so, you know, I've been developing this framework over years of teaching people these sales conversation techniques, and I've now kind of pared it down to there are 5 steps in a sales conversation. And your job as the salesperson is to move somebody step by step by step. And the mistake that often happens with inexperienced salespeople or people that are not really focused on the client experience, they're more focused on them, is they try to skip steps. They try to go, you know, first step is in the selling staircase is the introduction. And the last step, step 5, is close. And we've all been on the receiving end of somebody showing up in our lives and going right from introduction and going right in for the close. And that feels icky, frankly. And it can be shocking to the prospect because they're like, well, I don't even know you. And now you're trying to like get money out of me. And this doesn't feel good. So I teach this 5-step process because I find that when you put a process in place, even if you don't feel like you're an experienced salesperson, you can still go like, oh, I can do this. I know what step I'm on. and I know what I'm supposed to say or do next so that the client knows what to say and do and move through this process. So we get to the place where we exchange dollars for services. So you can tell me how much you want me to like dive into the actual five steps, which I'm happy to go through. But the idea is you don't get to skip steps.
Well, you know, everyone's going to buy your book. So yeah, we
need to go. Thank you.
Yeah, we need to entice them to buy the book, Nikki. Don't give it all away.
Well, it is crucial to get these five steps down, and it will start making the sales conversations feel more organic, natural, and you'll find that you are able to close deals much quicker and easier because you know where you are and you know where to go next.
So does this work in the enterprise sales where it's more complex?
Yes. Now, there might be certain things that you have to do in like for your product or for your offer that requires a deeper dive and a discovery, or might require you to follow these steps with multiple decision makers. There's pieces that you can pull in here and make adjustments to. But the idea is moving somebody or a company from this like introduction all the way to the close, and moving it step by step by step, so that when you get to the place where step four is the proposal, where you're laying out your offer to them, like if you've gotten that far in the process, you should have a pretty high close rate. And you're also using this to identify quickly, am I talking to an ideal prospect or client? And if not, I can bless and release that person or that organization, because again, it's not my job to convince people to buy. It's my job to understand what's their need, what's their problem, do I have a solution that meets that, and can I move them to the place where I actually get to lay out a proposal and then issue close language.
Talking about issuing close language, tell me more about why NLP, you're an NLP master, why that has helped you to, or how that has helped you to develop this method.
So yes, I have an extensive background in neuro-linguistic programming, and it's really the piece that I mean, there's a lot that goes into neuro-linguistic programming. The piece that I love about it is the language piece, and that's the L in the NLP. And so when you start to understand how do people process information, how do they make decisions, what is the language that encourages a brain to give an answer to a question, then you get more strategic again in these conversations. And so I started studying NLP when I was in corporate sales. I was working for, you know, one of the largest companies in the world, and I had this huge territory, and I just thought, like, I want to really hone my craft. And developing or getting introduced to neuro-linguistic programming and starting to understand how to recognize people's language patterns, how to recognize my own that were causing like confusion to a client, and being more clear. It's just been, I mean, it's been a game changer in all areas of my life, but definitely in the sales conversation, because I can pick up cues now that I couldn't pick up before. I can ask questions in a way that makes it easy for people to answer. I don't know if you've ever been on the receiving end of somebody, you think they asked you a question, but you're not actually sure what the question is. So then you don't know how to answer it, or you're not sure what to do next. So when you start to learn, like, I know how to pose this question in a way that makes it easy for the person to say yes or no.
Which is what a lot of salespeople do, by asking a question that buyers and customers think traps them into saying yes, that's going to lead them into the solution. That is very different, isn't it?
Yeah. If somebody is in a conversation with you and they feel trapped by you, you have damaged rapport and you've damaged relationship. Nobody should ever feel trapped into buying from you or shamed. I hate that approach too, which I do, you know, I know it's still being taught out there, of like, make people feel bad when they tell you no, so that, you know, they have, how could you not be able to make this decision? Like, why do you need to talk to your business partner? Why do you need to talk to your spouse? Like, aren't you able to make your own decisions? Like, I absolutely, again, just that stuff makes me feel ill. And it's such a rapport breaker. And if you're shaming people into buying from you or making them feel less than or feel trapped by you, you might get that first order, but you likely will not get the next one and the one after that, because maybe they'll buy and then they'll start to realize, like, I feel manipulated. I feel like this wasn't for my benefit. This was for this salesperson's benefit. So the likelihood of you earning repeat business from that person, I think, drops significantly. And this is why people give sales a bad name, right? This is why you hear people go like, ooh, sales, gross. People who are selling are so pushy and so gross and icky. And it doesn't have to be that way. It can be enjoyable for both people in the conversation.
Absolutely. And buyer's remorse is absolutely key. And you know, building long-term relationships is the lifetime value, where you really accelerate your revenue growth and profits. And that's the thing you want. So you really have to invest in the front end, doing it in the right way. So perhaps you can give us an example of the language or a conversation that is doing it in the right way, so that listeners really understand what you mean by this.
Well, one example is, oftentimes to move people through certain steps. So step three is the discovery process. And when you're doing a discovery, the objective is to understand what's the problem, what's the need, and ask strategic questions that lead the person to identify quickly that, yes, you have something that's of interest to me, or no, this isn't a good fit. We can bless and release that person. And before you move to proposal, my suggestion is always to learn how to ask for permission. So instead of going right from discovery to be like, you know what, you're a good fit for this program, here's all the, you know, feeds and speeds around it, and this is why you should buy it, and this is the price, and do you want to go ahead and buy that today? You've missed this critical step, which is asking permission to move to the next step, so that the person is in the right mindset to hear your proposal. And frankly, there's no reason to lay out your proposal if they don't want to hear it. So instead, ask permission. So an example of that would be for me to say, for instance, you know, Janice, based on what we talked about today, I get a sense that you would be a good fit for this program. Is that something you'd be interested to hear more about? And then I wait. And I actually let you answer the question. I don't just barge through and go, let me tell you all about it. Like, no, I have to get your permission before I start talking about it. And that will strengthen rapport. It shows that you're respectful of the person and what their needs are. And it prepares them to now move to this place of like taking in and hearing your offer.
Excellent. Excellent. The other area that I was reading about is how the buyer in their mind makes the decision that this is the right thing for them. So how does that work? Because they're looking for different things, aren't they? So in the way that you discover, they're almost ticking off different things. So talk to me more about that.
Well, some of that could be in the questions that you're asking, right? So one question I think people often don't ask, and I teach this in my you know, sales process in the Sales Maven Society, talk about it often probably on the podcast too, is asking people, for instance, what's important to you in, you know, hiring a sales coach, or what's important to you about growing your sales this next year? Whatever your, you know, insert whatever question you want there. So by asking somebody what's important, it helps kind of narrow the field, because sometimes we think it's everything, but it's not everything. That's not how we make decisions. It's usually a few things. Usually there's one key thing. And if you don't understand what's important to this person, and frankly, if they have never taken the time to even answer that question for themselves, that will slow them down from making a decision, because then they're like, but I don't really know if I need this. Maybe I should think about it some more or do some more research. But when you can find out like what's important to them, and then in the proposal, you use back that our key language when you're laying out the proposal about how this is going to meet the things that they've said are really important to them. Another way to ask this question for salespeople, and you might have heard this before, is like, what's your criteria for making a decision? Or what's your criteria for, or what criteria will you be using to decide on which company you are going to select for this project? right? And getting to the heart of that matter. And sometimes people are like, oh, people aren't going to tell me that. Well, they're not going to tell you if you don't ask, but you need to ask. And then if they go, we're not comfortable telling you that, okay, move on with the conversation, but make sure you're taking the time to ask them that question. And then, you know, around the decision piece of what our brains are is when you get to that close language or when you get to that next step, like to move to the next step, it usually involves a yes or no question because our brains can answer a yes or no question. And it allows for us to go like, it's kind of like if you type something into Google, Google will do its best to like give you an answer, whatever you ask it. So making sure that you're asking in a way that allows for them to make a decision. So for instance, is this something you'd like to move forward with? That's a yes or no question. Their brain can easily go like, well, I'm not sure yet because I have this other question. Great. Well, I need to answer that question in order to earn your business. Or they can say, yes, let's get going. Great. Now we're to the place where we can exchange money for services or product.
Fantastic. Yeah. So if you were on a desert island on your own, Nikki, I don't know what
I wouldn't last long.
Yeah. What's the one thing you take with you?
Well, let's see. Can I take my iPad and have power? Because I love to read in my downtime. So I guess, and I also, you know, something to distract me. It's got to be something that's going to like allow for my brain to, because my brain is always spinning with ideas and I need sometimes to like distract my brain. So can I take my iPad? Feel like I'd want that.
Yeah, you can have
mostly because energy. I want my Kindle.
You're taking your iPad or your Kindle. You can, you know, can't have both.
Okay, so well, I have my iPad on my Kindle because I use that the app. But okay, if I only can pick one, I guess I'm gonna take the Kindle because at least then, you know, I'm stuck on the desert island. I can get lost in a story that somebody else has written and wants to tell. I love people who write really good dialogue in stories because I love language.
Yeah, I can see you love language. Excellent. Nikki, we're going to have to get you on again next year because I know there's so much that we haven't covered because I know that because I've read your book and I listened to Sales Maven. So I know that. But it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you, Nikki. And thank you so much for being a guest on Scale Your Sales podcast.
Thank you for having me. I'm so grateful to have had this time with you.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining me on this episode of Scale Your Sales. Feel free to connect with me on LinkedIn or Twitter, Janice B. Gordon, to comment and share. I'd love it if you would leave a review on ratethispodcast.com/scaleyoursales. Please subscribe for more weekly expert insights to scale your sales.